Right, so everyone got a syllabus, either from me or from somehow?
Good.
Okay, hi, I'm Dr. Snyder. I was not the guy that was scheduled to be teaching this course. There two other courses I was teaching this term, apparently, I guess. Whoever the sessional was that they hired to do this just didn't show up and vanished and doesn't, we don't know. Anyways, so sorry about that. That sucks. The sessional's claiming medical emergency, but as far as we can tell, he never bothered to order a textbook for the course either. So, anyhow. So I found out about this yesterday at about 3:40, and it was a rather frantic rush to decide whether or not I would take this course on. I've got two other classes. So this is the equivalent of my teaching six courses during a regular term, which basically is insane. So, yeah, I haven't taught this course since 2002, which was two editions of the textbook ago. So I'm going to be playing a bit of catch up here as well. So, anyways, so anyway, yeah, there's me. Who all of you had me for 281? Just like pretty much all of you, yeah, more or less. A few other people have had 281 at like. Through Russ Powell over at Grant Mack, maybe, through the places. Okay, well, anyways. Contact information, my office is over in Psych. I've got a phone there, email. You know, easiest way, honestly, to see me is, like, right here, okay? My 281 class is in here before your class, so I'm going to already be here. I can be here, talk to people afterwards. We'll have a 10-minute break partway through, so there's probably pretty good opportunities to talk to me. If you want to schedule appointments to see me outside of this, by all means, we can set something up. I haven't set any formal office hours because past experience shows that people don't come to them during the spring, and you all have probably got busy things going on as well. You may be working other jobs, and so whatever office hours I've set is probably not going to correspond particularly well to your schedules. Okay, anyways. Up at the top of the website, I did send everyone who was registered as of whatever, like about 10 o'clock last night or something, I sent an email to your ualberta.ca account with the URL for the course website. That was the other fun thing, getting a lecture and a website put together in about 6 hours last night. So the website's up. The syllabus is there. The URL is up there. So here you go. And PowerPoint lecture slides will go up there. Currently, the first chapter is up there because that's all I've had a chance to write, and we'll do that today. But we'll get more up as we go here. Okay, first thing, with respect to the textbook, as I said, whoever this former sessional was didn't seem to bother ordering a text. So the text that he would have ordered would be the Domian 6th edition. It's the standard text that's used for teaching 381 in fall and winter term. So that's what should have been ordered. It wasn't. At this point, there is no... I've talked directly to the publishing rep for Nelson Canada, or the Wadsworth, the arm of Wadsworth in the U.S., They probably can't actually get physical texts here for like maybe 2.5-3 weeks. At which point, why bother? However,
it looked like there was a Canada in the bookstore, and most of them are used.
Wait, in the actual bookstore or subtitles?
There's a couple in subtitles, but the ones that are used in the bookstore are cheaper.
Oh, okay, score. See, I went and checked the bookstore online, and there was like none listed. So it's the 6th edition of Domin?
Yeah, because I bought it in.
Talk it back. Okay, terrific. I couldn't get that information. All I could do was go on and look at their official what's been ordered for this term, and it was zero. So, okay, this makes things even better then. The only thing I could come up with was I did get in touch with subtitles, and it's like, do you have any copies of this? Like, we've got 10. Okay. So I knew at least subtitles had a few of them. But I also talked to the publishing rep, and we found there's a way you can get an e-textbook, So if you'd rather have an electronic form, the instructions are right down here. You go to the CourseSmart site, and you just follow the instructions. You've got a couple of options with the e-text. It costs, I think, about $80. Was it costed? Oh, wow, okay. So the used copies at the bookstore may even be less than...
The used ones are
$100. Oh. Okay. Well, you know, what you're going to spend is up to you, but we've at least got a few options now. If they were brand new, they'd probably be about $170 or something. There are some used ones there between the bookstore and subtitles, and I think the online one is about $80. Now, the online one is non-permanent. You can either do... you just do it through... there's two options. You can either have a downloadable version, which I guess lasts until, like, whatever, the end of your course or something like that. But it goes onto your computer. You can carry it around with wherever you go, that sort of thing. Or you can get one that's specifically online. So whenever you've got a internet connection, you can pop into the site and get it there. And I think that one lasts for 180 days, something like that. But it's up to you. So we at least do have some... we do have some options here with respect to the texts. So there's that. If you've got access to a fifth edition of the text, I don't want to tell you not to use it, but I just honestly don't know. Like I said, I mean, I agreed to do this yesterday around 4:30. So I just don't know what changes there are. I mean, I've gone through the first chapter. There are... There's some stuff that's a bit different. Second chapter doesn't look like there's too much, but beyond that, I have no idea what's changed between the fifth and the sixth. I mean, honestly, in terms of, hey, this is classical conditioning, there's only so much you can change with respect to that. But, I mean, there may be some different examples or a few different theories. I really don't know. So if you've already got an old copy of the fifth, then... okay. I mean, I don't even have a hard copy of the sixth, so it's not like I can put something on reserve. But part of this yesterday, it's like, okay, I've got two copies of the fifth edition sitting here. Great, I can put these both in the library, and we've gone to the sixth edition. Okay, I got nothing. So I'm using an online version of the text as well at this point. So if you've got a fifth, probably similar, the best I can say at this point. I haven't had a chance to go through the whole six, so I don't really know what the changes are. The general stuff should be comparable. For people that have popped in late, we were just talking about the textbook issue. Just since it's not written down here, this information I had as of yesterday, there are apparently also a bunch of used copies over at the U of A bookstore. But no text was ordered for this by the former instructor, so that's just what we're dealing with now. Okay. So you do have some options. You can either go to subtitles, you can go to the bookstore and find a used copy. You can go. There may be other people selling used copies around. I mean, check Kijiji or something else, Craigslist or whatnot. I don't know. Then there's the electronic versions that you can get through this CourseSmart system. So at least we have access to. Textbooks, which have me a little bit worried. Yes?
Can you give an example that
you use in the Yes, as far as I know, because the book came out in 2010, and if there's used copies at the bookstore, it must have been used last term. It's got a picture of like a woman on it with a, what is it, a giraffe or something? Or oh, an elephant! She's being eaten by an elephant, okay? Woman in green jacket, teal jacket, with white hat, being mauled by a baby elephant. That's behavior for you. Okay, so there we go. Get a textbook somehow, okay? Or pool your resources and work together with friends, whatever. I'm sorry about this. The former sessional, who we will not be offering jobs to ever again in the future, as it turns out. Dropped the ball on this one enormously. Okay, so predicted reading schedule here. There's 12 chapters in the text. Given that we are missing the first 3 hours of the course, I'm not going to have time, to really do. So we'll do the first 11 chapters. Between now and the 25th, we'll try to get through chapters 1 through 4. From the 27th of May to the 3rd of June, we'll do 5, 6, 7, and 8. And the 9th and 11th from the 8th to the 15th of June. In terms of course evaluation and breakdown, we've got two midterm exams, the first on the 27th of May and the second on the 8th of June. I'm sorry on the spacing of this. Again, we're down the first class here, and so I would have rather have had these both sort of hopped up a week, but I'm doing the best I can here with what we got, I'm afraid. So 27th of May, 8th of June. The final exam, when I put this together last night, I didn't know when the final was. The final exam, you can write this down, is going to be 18th of June from 11:30 to 1:30. So it'll be a two-hour final on the 18th of June. That's the Friday, 18th of June, 11:30 to 1:30. I'll update that online after I get back to the office later. Okay. So there's that. There's also going to be a the way this is normally taught is Dr. Sturdy just has two midterms and final exam, where the midterms is each worth, first midterms are 33%, second midterms worth 33%, and the final's worth 34%, which strikes me as strange. But anyway, so I'm going to toss in a I just can't work that way. It bothers me. To have things that are, you know, like that. So it's going to be a very short paper on the 1st of June. Don't panic. Okay? 3 pages. This is not a reference-driven paper. You're not having to go to the library and look stuff up. Okay? Here's what's going to happen. We're going to get you to do a short sort of scientific critique or critique of the scientific stuff in one of a few sort of classic papers. In learning behavioral psychology research. I don't know exactly which papers yet because, again, I just started doing this last night, but I'll find 3 or 4 papers, probably something like Watson's Little Albert Experiment. If I can find it online, probably Skinner's Superstitious Behavior Study, and I don't know, maybe something by Tolman, or we'll find a couple of more there. And so just what I'm going to get you to do, and again, I'll get the information up on the website on this. I haven't had a chance. I was, like I said, my focus was to get a lecture put together for today and get a syllabus together and get something up for a website for you. So I haven't written out all the details about this. I've done this kind of project before. 3-page paper. You pick one of the articles that's available. They're fairly short. They'll be fairly short articles. And critically evaluate them. Are they doing good science? Are they doing poor science? You know, is some of the stuff well done? Or are there problems? What do you think? And we'll talk about how to do a critique here as well. Critiques don't have to be wholly negative. Right? I mean, it's like, yeah, this was done really well. But this aspect, you know, there's some sample bias in this case here, blah, 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 blah. This is not something where you're going to have to be going off to the library and finding more references and reading, you know, another dozen articles. You read the paper. Pick one of the papers, read it, and write a little 3-page. So that'll be a 20% assignment due on the 1st of June. Okay. So that's what we got there. I'm not going to cover all. Oh yes, yeah, little notes here. Strucker will not be covering all the topics from the assigned chapters during class time. There's a lot of stuff in the textbooks. You know, I'll talk about some stuff. The textbook will talk about some stuff. Some of the stuff's going to overlap. Other stuff is in the text that I'm not going to cover because it's, you know, explained very nicely. Some stuff I'm going to go into in class is not covered in the textbook because I think it's interesting and it's worth giving to you. Okay. Right, so let's see. The exam's there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 13th to 15th of May lectures, chapters 1 to 4 in the textbook is exam 1. 2nd, 27th of May, 3rd of June, chapters 5, 6, 7, 8. If you miss a midterm exam, standard stuff. You got to get the... Excellent. Contact me within a couple of working days here. If you've missed it for a university-accepted reason, serious illness, death in the immediate death or medical emergency in the immediate family, recognized religious event or holiday, claiming that you are a modern druid, and hence your sacred drink is beer, and you were religiously hungover, will not work. I tried that back in 1987. It didn't work for me. It's not going to work for you. Sorry. Now, if you can actually prove that you're a druid, that's something else. So give me the documents. Oh, the only other thing is if you're on a varsity team, which I'm not even sure if that applies during spring or summer session, but if you're on a varsity team and we're away for a competition, then we get your coach to try to administer. Anyways, if you have a legitimate reason for missing a midterm, we'll transfer the weight to the final. There's no makeup or rewrite or anything else there. We just don't have the time and resources here to produce alternate exams. If you miss the final exam, that's up to your faculty. So you go explain it to them. If they say, okay, they'll contact me, and then you'll write a deferred final on the 9th of June, 2010, 2 p.m. Come by my office. The final is a cumulative exam. It will be slanted a bit towards stuff after the second midterm, so there'll be a little bit of a bias towards those chapters there. Midterms, 50 multiple choice, four option multiple choice in 60 minutes, and final exam, 90 multiple choice in 120. Okay. We're being asked to put this on here now. Exam questions are proprietary. So I'll put sample questions up on the websites, or on the website. Those are the only Psychology 381 sample questions that are made available to students. If you find somehow other Psycho 381 sample questions from previous years floating around, you would be in illegal possession of that. That constitutes a violation under the Code of Student Behavior as academic dishonesties. If you do find things like that floating around, come see me, because we need to find out how those have gotten loose. So there's that. Get the paper. Well, I talked about that a little bit already. Get the paper out on time. Right, get in at the beginning of the class on the 1st of June. If it's late, we start slamming 10% penalties on there. It's a horrible way to lose points by being late. If you want to get done early, okay, that's fine too. If it does have to be late for whatever reason, ideally turn it into me, or second best, turn it into the psychology office. On Monday to Friday, 8 to 12, 1 to 4, room Psychology Wing, Biology Sciences Building, 217. They will date stamp it, and I will then take that date stamp as the time it was submitted and use that for assessment of late penalties. If you can't do that for whatever reason, if you thumbtack it to my bulletin board, I will find it whenever I find it, and when I find it counts as when it was turned in. Well, I turned it in before it was even due. Really? Prove it. I can't. Mm-hmm. It's like, do you have an alibi for the night of the murder? I was playing video games at home by myself. Really? Can you prove it? No. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I don't know when you actually turn it in, so... Please do not stick something under my door. It's not because it really bothers me, but like maybe every one in three terms, students stick things under my door and they just vanish. I mean... swear to whatever gods exist, they just go. I don't know what happens to them. I mean, either the students are all just like, you know, yanking my chains, like, yeah, I turned it in, uh-huh. I don't think so. Some of them seem really quite distraught that they found the zero. It's like, where is it? I turned it in, I put it under your door. Even when it said, do not put it under my door. Yeah. I have no idea. My only thought here is that, I mean, cleaning staff is really supposed to pick up anything on the floor and throw it out. See my office, you will realize that they do not do this in actuality. But my current working hypothesis is that every periodically the orders, or they hire somebody new who, you know, decides to be kind of gung-ho and throws out student assignments that they find them on the floor. Or, you know, they were a failed psychology student and feel, you know, angry at students that are in psychology and determined to destroy their lives by... I have no idea. I honestly don't know. But these things seem to vanish. So, for your own safety, just don't stick them under the door. There's other options available. Grading scheme. As with really all my courses, I do not grade on a curve. Statistically speaking, there's too few of you to possibly do this. I'd have to give, like, you know, one A and, like, fail probably two of you. If I graded this on a curve, that sucks. This way, y'all get what you get. If 10 of you get A's, great. So we just use a straight breakdown here. It's a grading scheme. I tally up all of your accomplishments at the end of the term, compare to the little chart, and wherever you fall is where you fall, and that's the letter grade that you get. Okay. This means you can calculate what you're doing going into any sort of, you know, assignment or exam or the final. No surprises there. Maybe that means you can time manage a bit better or whatnot. You're not in competition with anybody else, right? You don't have to try to sabotage other students that are doing well in the class. So-and-so is doing well. If they do well and get an A, I can't get an A too. I must put laxative in their coffee, you know, right before the exam. No. Yeah. I know this happened. Back when I was in zoology, the med students were highly competitive. Right? Because tough to get into med school. I started out in zoology years ago, back in the dark ages, you know, when you could study paleontology by actually going out back and watching the brontosaurus eat the leaves off the tree. but that's how old I am. Anyways, it's competitive. Spike somebody's coffee there. Just to try to get them to have to run out of exam with explosive diarrhea. So, you know, it's kind of funny. But wrong. Very wrong. So, there we go. I'll be posting the grades up onto the website. If you got any reason why you don't want your ID number, I won't use your names, obviously, but if you got some reason why you don't want your ID number used to post your grade up there, let me know. We'll issue you a, you know, fake ID number for the term. 5 years ago, I had a woman who was estranged from her husband. He was stalking her. She had a restraining order on him. He had actually shown up outside classes lurking for her in the past. And her concern, he was, from everything she told me, he was quite the piece of work. But her concern was, I mean, husband, he knew what her ID number was, and because these ID numbers were used for the publicly accessible, you know, on-the-web grades, her concern was that you would, like, go through, you knew she was in psychology, go through, you know, after, like, a midterm or something, go looking around till he could find her ID number and use that to construct her schedule and be waiting for her. And you go, that sounds crazy. It's, oh, wait, yeah, from what you described, he is crazy. So, okay. So if you got some reason why you don't want your ID up online, come see me, we'll work something out, and you should get the off to the registrar's office, get a new ID number. Prerequisites, you have to have successfully passed Psychology 281 or its equivalent from another institution to take this course. Okay, it's not a co-requisite, it is a prerequisite. Stuff on cheating and plagiarizing. Short form of this, Dean Leskew is right now pretty annoyed with psychology students for cheating. It's never a good time to get caught cheating or plagiarizing, but this is a really bad time to do this. And I don't see it getting any better anytime soon in terms of what will happen to people. Do not cheat on exams. We will catch you. I caught three people last term in 281 doing this. Right? I suspect there's more. I'm still working on that. I'll get them. Okay? People think it's not that easy to cheat. It's hard to cheat well and not get caught. Anyways, leaving that aside, I think this is partially what annoys the deans, is that students just do it stupidly, too. If you're going to be dishonest, at least be clever about it. But, of course, if you're going to be that clever, you might as well just study, right? Anyways, plagiarizing for the paper would mean passing off somebody else's work as your own. I'm not entirely sure how you could do that, as it's, you know, a fairly uniquely developed assignment that you don't have to do any other research for, but work from the primary, you know, article there. So that's probably not a real issue, but you do need to work on the assignment, the paper, by yourself. Okay, so, you know, if I find, you know, two people with the same, essentially the same paper, it's like, that's highly suspicious, and we'll have a little chat, and then Dr. Leskew will have a little chat with you, and we'll go from there. So don't be doing that. Right, appealing grades on the exams and, well, assignment paper in this case. I'm going to be using questions from the exam bank. I don't know what the exam bank looks like yet because I just don't even have really a textbook at this point. I'm using it online, so I'm waiting for the publishers to get me an exam bank, but I'll be using their questions. I haven't used these questions before. I will do my best going through this to find questions that seem fair and unambiguous, but if there are some issues that come up, feel free to appeal them. To do that, do what we call an answer justification. So you indicate what the exam question was, and then you provide me a justification for why it's a bad question, an ambiguous question, why you think you were right and should get a point for the answer that you selected. Okay? Do it in writing. You know, I found it's generally better for the students to make their case in writing. They can make a stronger argument as opposed to, you know, coming up to me and apparently, according to some people, I'm somewhat intimidating and cause people to lose their train of thought in argument. 40-something-year-old pudgy balding guy, intimidating. Must be the scar. I don't know. Anyhow, please do it in writing. It's generally better for you. No grades will ever go down on a request for review of a question. Okay? So I know some professors will. It's like, oh, sure, you can submit something and I'll consider it, but I might lower your grade. It's like, that's just bullshit. That's crap. That's just a way for some professor to not have students come by and pester him or her. That's bogus. How many other words can I come up with that make this... That's just keeping students away. That's just wrong. It's just wrong. For the paper, I'll do my best to grade, you know, fairly and objectively there. You know, I don't really want to know who you are when grading the paper. You put your name on the front. I turn the whole stack upside down and don't look at the name until I'm done, you know, grading and whatnot there. So, but you know, if I miss something, if I didn't understand what you're trying to say, if you think there's some crucial element that I misunderstood, same deal. You know, in this case, give me a photocopy of the paper. Keep the original, because you know, apparently things vanish from my office. It's like a black hole of the psychology department. But keep the original. Write your justification. Highlight the relevant sections. Make your point, and I'll consider. Grades do go up. You know, they can't go down. They sometimes don't change at all, but they could go up. So there's that. You have to get this stuff into me. Any appeals have to be turned in before the final exam is written. That's a university reg. Okay, so I have to have all of this there. And I collect things up and look at them at the end of the course. Contacting me again. There's the phone there. I guess I'll leave a message. I won't actually be in my office all that much because I'm actually teaching pretty much always, as it turns out now. You could, if you'd like to, you know, write me, you know, a cursive, beautifully scripted letter. You should do that. Get a loose quill. You go. Send it to the psych department. Very nice. Oh, ma'am. How lovely. Or you can talk to me right here, you know, because it's part of what I'm here for. Or you can email me. Now, if you email me, a few things. I get just an insane amount of spam in the last... 4 months, 17 Nigerian princesses have contacted me to help them get their money out of the country. Do I have sucker written on my forehead or something? No. The reason this happens is I've had websites up for courses since 95, and my email address has been on them the whole time. And so the little web bots that run around collecting this data, I mean, I'm in like every database on the face of the planet. And not just like the government agency ones, you know, but the other ones too. And so I just get a lot of spam. And so my spam blocker is it's extremely severe. So to get a message to me, you know, I've got dedicated course mailboxes. So put psycho, PSYCO 381 into the subject line. That will route it directly to a course. Barring any other bizarreness, and I should get it then. Similarly, use your ualberta.ca email account. Okay, you all got them. I mean, the university is charging you an obscene amount of money. You get this for free. Well, actually, no, you're paying for it. So you should use it. Make really long-distance emails at peak hours. So it doesn't really work that way, but still. Okay, so please use that. Again, that will get through the spam blocker and need that. Also, I just have a hard time sometimes sending messages back to people using like Yahoo or Hotmail or sometimes even TELUS or Shaw has been problematic for whatever reason. But I've never had problems getting things back to students using their ualberta.ca. If you don't hear back from me in like a couple of business days, 2-3 business days, you know, try again or see me in class or try something else. Like I said, I'm doing the equivalent of 6 courses during spring because I've taken this on. So I'm busy this term. I may not be able to get to, you know, answering emails right away because I've got a whole bunch of classes going on here. But I will get to them. Finally, disrupting classes with cell phones and stuff. You're adults. Let's act like adults. This is not the place for you to be texting or taking calls. This is not the place for you to be using your wireless computer connection to watch hockey games or porn or whatever. Yes, in fact, these are all true stories. It's like, thank you for bringing your porn into my classroom. That's great. Am I violating student code of behavior? No, just general codes of student or human standards, but great. Anyways, so yeah, if you're disruptive, if you disrupt the class, I'll just tell you to leave. You know, if you still cause problems, I'll leave. And I'll come back a few minutes later, but I will not know what has happened. Because if you're disruptive in the class, you're disturbing other people as well. And if I walk outside of the room and I come back and all there is a little bloody pile of scraps, I can honestly say before the dean that I have no idea what happened. That's true. I just went out for something and I came back and they were dead. Apparently beaten to death with their own cell phone. It's a tragic, tragic thing. I'm not sure how that happened. They probably killed themselves in remorse. I'm not sure. Okay. Any questions about the syllabus here? So, like I said, we're down a class, so we're going to see what we can do here to get caught up and get through things. Oh, the other thing I haven't mentioned, but if you've had me in other classes before, you will know this. I'm wondering what the computer was doing there. I record the audio of the class, so audio podcasts. And after the class, I compile them and post them onto the website. So if you have to miss a class for some reason, you've got the PowerPoint slides, and at least you've got, you know, my voice, you know, disembodied voice that you would listen to as you go through slides. So, you know, it's something. It's, you know, perhaps better than not. You can use them for review, whatever it is. But the audio podcast will go up after class. You know, either the night of or the next day, sort of thing. Okay, so I'll just shut down this first.